is humanity versus the data scientists. Advantage
13.
As we continue to explore the increasing intricacies that continuously surround us, and as we develop our platform, and as we enhance our experiences, what we ask from you is to subscribe.
Click the button. I think we're only like five away from the prize.
Oh, that's right. We have a prize for the 100.
Yes.
At the 100 subscriber, $100.
$100.
$100. When did you get started? Like 4 months back, it's really going good.
Yeah.
Yes, that is correct. The initial episode started in November, I think, November or October. So we're now in the 13th episode. We got subscriptions, we got descriptions, we got clicks, we got things are moving, okay? So, co-hosting today, Mr. Jacinto.
Boop, 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 boop. How y'all doing?
And a special guest today, Mr. Sam Sumawa.
Thank you.
So, today is a very interesting episode. It's very interesting because it's our first collaboration co-branding episode. And it is meant to allow for us to aid in sharing the information as we create more connections. And in Mr. Sam, if you wouldn't mind elaborating for us a little bit on your history and the nature of your appearance here today.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you, Robert. First of all, thanks for inviting me today. So it's really an honor to be a part of Premium, as you guys are doing really great and sharing knowledge about various aspects to your audience. Okay. So I hope I would be able to share something today about data science. Okay, one of the very boring topics, right? People literally talking about data science every day. But you were talking about, like, what is data science and how we can get into data science field. Mm. So hopefully I would be able to give you some sort of, like, information that how the data science kind of evolving into this world.
Sure.
And how we can get into this data science world, which will take you to that AI transitioning in future.
You're speaking way too many words.
Lost me already.
You lost me. Hello. Let me explain. Oh, he's going to explain this?
I'm getting sweaty.
In that, we also have Mr. Jacinto, which if you wouldn't mind sharing a little bit of what you want to communicate.
Yeah, so I wanted to talk just quickly about the comedy events in Houston. Mm-hmm. Houston has an amazing comedy scene that not a lot of people know about. Not just the typical comedy clubs where they're bringing comedians from other cities. We actually have a home base of amazing comedians, some of which are my friends and I'm starting to get to know. So I wanted to give them a quick shout out. So every night of the week, you can see some amazing comedy in Houston. So on Mondays, there's El Pueblito. A friend of mine is named Sean Sorley. That's at 7 p.m. We're going to put all that information down at the bottom, so don't worry. That's on Mondays. On Tuesdays, Kenji Alonso. That's called Comedy in the Garden. That's at 8 p.m. That's on McGowan Street. Then on Wednesdays, we have the Secret Group, we have Darwin's Pub, and we have the Speakeasy. It's called Phil and Derek Speakeasy. All of those are amazing comedians. One of my friends, Enrique Chacon, he's at the Secret Group, and he runs that. It's called Back of the Bus, and it's basically it's a play on the jokers in the back of the bus. Did you ever sit in the back of the bus?
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah, you sit in the back of the front.
I think I saw that on the street.
Depending on who was in school that day.
Exactly.
Usually, it's my turn to be in the back.
The crazier people usually in the back, right? So it's called Back of the Bus. That's on Wednesdays. And on Thursdays, there is the Houston, Texas Social. And then the Secret Group has another one. There's also Brass Tap, a friend of mine named Jeff Joe. He's killing it right now with another guy named Jesse Saldana. They do a show at the House of Blues. Yeah. And they're both headliners. They're super hilarious, except Brass Tap. Then Friday, we got the typical Pancho Claus. That's every Friday. Shout out to Pancho Claus. If you don't know who Pancho Claus is, please Google him. He's an amazing pillar of the Houston community. And that's every Friday at the Latino Learning Center. And then there's another show called the Big Easy Comedy Show. And that's I was asked recently about more comedies, comedy shows outside of downtown, midtown. And this one is actually on 1960. It's called the Big Easy Comedy Show. And then on Saturday, there's a brand new one by a friend of mine named Antonio Aguilar. And that's called the Backyard Comedy Show. And that he's literally in his backyard. Cool. And it's awesome. He has it set up and he got the most expensive chairs that he could possibly get. And it's really nice set up with the backyard. So shout out to all the comedians. Please see some local comedians. And when you go to those big comedy clubs, they always have you fill out something like, who would you like to see? Please write in there. You want to see some local Houston comedians. Just support local comedy. Yes.
I definitely appreciate local comedy. I went to, I think it was a secret club or the Red
secret,
Box.
Secret group.
Yeah, secret group. Yeah.
So behind it, yeah, it's called the Box.
The Box.
But it's the same building. Yeah. They just call it something different.
Yeah. I had a really good time that night, and it was relatively inexpensive. I had drinks. It was about 2 hours worth of entertainment.
Almost all those shows that I just mentioned are free, by the way, and that's the best part. You don't have to get a 2-drink minimum and all these things that the big comedy clubs do.
And that's one of the advantages
and the information that we're discussing about, exactly. Sharing with you guys, right? A lot of times folks aren't aware. They're
the
aware.
Yeah, the communication is kind of sometimes not transferring because we don't even know that what comedy show is going on. Not everybody is like, pretty much popular on Facebook, right? Sometimes you need to actually go through different channels to get all the information.
Exactly.
I'm glad that you literally, kind of, I would say, promoting this stuff because we have to support the local comedians, local business and everything. We all know pandemic has been hurt for all of us. For the last couple of years, the local businesses, the local artists got hit by, a lot financially and from other aspects. So I think we all have to, come together and support them.
And that brings it back to the whole reason why we're here, communication and collaboration. Exactly. That's what we're doing here to promote Sam's brand.
Thank you.
Yes.
Something else that I sense it. I think in the nature of when people hear free, it's a nature of, it's not valuable.
Right.
Exactly. But the quality is not
true. Yes. Right. Yes. And then they miss out on this thought process on hidden gems. Because of not wanting to have the exchange. Oh, no, it's free, it's not. But this is folks that have been doing it for a long time. Meaning, how long have you been in the entertainment industry?
I've been a comedian for 12 years.
Man, so it's a lot of connections, a lot of things and it's a different environment that folks would get sometimes stuck in. Oh, let's just stay home and watch Netflix. No, how about you go out in the community, have some laughs in the local environment, and enjoy.
Exactly.
Enjoy, because there's a lot out there.
Because all the Netflix ads, they started from somewhere. They actually started in the colony.
Great point,
the local
man.
Point, right?
Great
and they
point.
Made it to the top. So if they wouldn't have got the support from their local communities, they won't be able to, get it to that stage, right?
Mm-hmm.
So everybody needs support to start from somewhere.
Everyone starts somewhere, just like us in our previous studios. And now we're in this fabulous studio that we have set up because of your support. Subscribe. Help us, we'll help you.
Let's do it. Now, to elaborate on the nature of what's happening today. Today we have an entertainer, an entrepreneur, a data scientist.
Data. That's in Spanish.
Whenever I hear the word data.
It's kind of, funny is that, that data thing is kind of a colloquially, it's kind of pronounced same way that, my mother tongue is, okay? So I'm actually from the eastern part of India, okay? So my mother tongue is Bengali.
Okay.
So the way you actually pronounce data, that thing. So in my mother tongue, if somebody would say that word data, it actually same. So funny, it's like, how all the languages are kind of like interconnected, like intertwined, right?
Fascinating. I think some of them have, the beginning of Latin. Latin is the root language from a lot of
English, French, German, all the European languages.
Just little words that come in there.
Right.
And then now,
for Indian, it was actually Sanskrit.
Sanskrit.
Latin and Sanskrit is kind of like cousins.
And now, what would you call the languages that India has?
Hindi is actually the national language, but India is like a part of like a unity and diversity.
Yeah.
You move from one state to another, the language gets changed. Like in my state, we speak Bengali. We speak the same language that, I mean, the people from Bangladesh also speak. Yeah. We actually
Now, are these similar dialects with regards to their language? Or are they like
The dialect is different. The way I speak Bengali is not the same way a Bangladeshi person speaks Bengali.
Yeah.
We have dialect, our pronunciation, everything is different.
Now, I'll say this though.
In South America, or Spanish, it's not really actually the people call it Spanish, but it's Castilian.
Right.
And so there are a bunch of different dialects in all these countries where sometimes there's a lot of miscommunication about words that mean something wonderful in one language, something totally disgusting in the next.
Exactly.
Like it's the same word.
Well, that's the diversity, you know, like that. Sometimes we may have to bring that diversity together to, you know, like just to tell people, you know, maybe in the underlying, we all are the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. We look different, our physical appearance are different, we don't talk in the same way like we, but like we want, but maybe, you know, we have the same, there is somewhere we actually all connected.
100%.
Even if you're like, you know, our countries are miles apart of each other, we grew up in a different parts of the world, but somehow we are still a human being. We are all kind of united together.
Yep.
That is something is very important. I want to share the message here. The way things are going on, the geopolitical situation, we have to make sure that humanity should stand together.
Unity.
We all united.
U-N-I-T-Y.
And I think that's a wonderful leeway into the next conversation that we were talking about, which is humanity versus the data scientists.
Bring it all home for a second.
Or the AI that is coming, or the data that is flowing through the systems.
AI is coming, like Judgment Day. Like
I don't know. I see data scientists as the folks that are like the person trying to tame that tiger. But it's the data scientists that they're looking into that information.
What's the tiger in this
it's
analogy?
The AI that's coming.
Okay, I like it.
The AI that's
tame
coming.
The tiger.
Well,
okay.
All right.
Nonetheless, give us a little bit of information first on data, I guess, and then we move on to science, because the combination is not really the same as data science. It is, but it's different.
Thought there is some kind of like obviously a lot of differences there.
Data
science. Let me start with the data.
Yes.
Let's go.
So the first, the data is that it's information.
Yes.
Everything out there.
Oh,
okay.
And it's
okay.
We're
talking. Okay. Yeah. So if somebody is just like. You know, like transform my speech into a transcript.
Yeah.
That's the data.
Yeah.
Okay. So we are doing something. We are, you know, like, going to the grocery store. Okay. So we got a receipt. Okay. So the receipt is the data.
Yeah.
Okay. So every day, even like, you know, like some people were, and I'm not wearing my Fitbit.
Yeah.
Okay. But most of us people wearing Fitbit,
when
they go for a run, they do something.
Mm-hmm.
Even sometimes people actually wear the watch when they're even sleeping.
Yeah.
That will basically give them their sleeping matrix.
Right.
So everything is data. So our world is literally evolved around data because it's information.
Mm-hmm.
So now people will think, okay, I have a lot of information. How can I process?
Mm.
Simple thing. Okay, I have a lot of information. I don't know what the damn this information means.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we need experts. That's where we need people like data scientists, people like data analysts, data engineers, and so on and so forth.
Yeah. So I lost you when you moved on from data information into the processing part, because I'm stuck. And I'm thinking, oh, elaborate on the processing of the information, which my understanding as you are giving me or expressing it is data is the process of putting the information into a digitized system where it now becomes data. Am I understanding this properly?
Yes. Thing is like that. Think about it this way. When do we generate data? We call it a raw data. Okay.
Oh,
it's not processed. Okay.
Raw.
Just getting the data. Okay. You don't know what the meaning of the data. Okay. So you have thousands of data and most of the data sets are not useful to you. You don't need that. Okay. So how do you filter down to the main information that you need?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter. Forget about what, you know, job roles you have, what industry you work for. In every industry, one thing is common that you're not going to use the full raw data set. You know, like whatever the data you have, you're not going to process that. You need specific information, right? So how are you going to do that? How are you going to derive that underlying pattern of the data that you can use for your business, for your personal interest, or anything else? Okay, so that's where the main data science or data analysis or data engineering things come across, because they help you to process the data so you can get the main, like I would say, information or I would say the pattern of the data. I want to add one thing over here, because I'm a big like a detective kind of
person. Oh, big detective.
Yes. Yeah, so my
I know, right, Pedro?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, detective.
I don't have the magnifying glass. So that's kind of like, think about that. So that's you went to a murder zone and somebody got murdered. There's so many things out there, so many stuffs, the killers lived behind.
Yeah, sure.
So those are data.
Yeah.
So now how you can process those information that will help you to lead to the suspect,
gotcha.
Or you can pinpoint that.
Okay.
So that's kind of, I mean, that's how I got inspired into coming into this.
Oh, you know, inspired you.
Because data science is more of like being a data detective.
Okay.
So you're finding a needle in a haystack of data.
Gotcha.
And once you find the needle, that's it. That's all you need.
Gotcha.
Would you say the process is the most important part?
Yes.
So it's about trusting the process as you go through it.
Well, if your process is foolproof, if nobody can say that my process is foolproof, I mean, no data scientist or even data analyst could say that, whatever I analyze is 100% proof.
Right.
Because that's what science is. Because data science is also, I would say, a field of scientific study.
Sure.
Okay, and science is based on hypothesis.
Yeah, right.
Okay. So hypothesis is 100%,
gotcha.
Right? You gotta prove your hypothesis and that's how you go. Okay. So I don't really use a lot of like scientific jargon. So when you come, talk about science or data science or anything. Okay, so nothing is like I would say always crystal clear, or nothing is like every information is correct.
Yeah.
Okay, because that's why you need to process it. You need to like do hypothesis. You need to basically, I would say, analyze the data. You need to like think in a scientific way. You need to apply mathematics, statistics to find out, okay, the thing you are saying, that's correct. Okay, you are saying that, this thing lead to this. Okay, so prove me.
Okay.
And that's why, you have to prove it using your data science or analytical skill. Okay. I don't know. Is it answers your question or
I got some answers, but I got like 1,000 more questions.
Yes.
Right.
If you want to go first, you moved over from data to science without like announcing it. You're like, hey, wait, hold on, Sam. We're still analyzing data. I'm still talking about the process of data, information data, who's collecting the data, why is this data valuable? Because you mentioned also several parts, which is discarding unused data or the parts that are not important.
Not important, right? Yeah.
But that's really subjective in my perception. You know what I mean? Meaning, you get the bulk of the data, it depends what you're looking for or what's valuable for you.
What's the end goal? Is that what the people are looking for in this data?
That is correct.
What is it?
That is correct.
Especially for someone who's layman or unnecessarily as adverse as you in this, is, okay, here's my information. What is it that I even want? Right.
Correct.
Folks don't even know what they necessarily want. Is that where you...
That's where actually, when you're talking about the processing, the reason actually we had that leap from data to science, because when it comes to processing, it relates to science. So you got to actually define the data processing using the term science. But that's where the science come across. Now talking about your point that what's the end goal? What's the outcome?
Yeah.
So that's where you need to think about that, what the data science thing would do. Are you trying to come up with a better decision for your business? Let me give you an example, okay?
Sure.
So, for example, you are a real estate broker or something. You want to do some analysis.
Sure.
You want to analyze the...
That's a great example, because real estate is booming.
House pricing data. Okay?
Right.
Okay. Or maybe you are just a data scientist trying to sell your house.
In this one example, you are somebody trying to sell a house.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. And that guy is a data scientist. Okay.
Not a real estate agent.
Yeah, like Mike.
Because what if it was a real estate agent with a data scientist background?
Possible.
All right, keep going.
So now, so that person wants to understand, okay, So I have a house, you know, that's square feet, three bedrooms, you know,
sure.
three bathrooms, you know, I have like a long backyards. My location is like in that particular area, zip code. How I can predict that my house price would look like 6 months down the line, okay, or, you know, 1 year from now. Okay, how that person would come up with that prediction, right? Because if you check different websites like HR, Zillow, they all have some kind of a bot. It'll always tell you, okay, your house prediction would be like around this. You know, like how that happens. You know, ever that question come to your head? You're like, you know, okay, so how they're
doing? Especially the way the market is right now.
I mean, like,
my actual concern, to be honest with you, whenever I see HAR or the other, is that they're not actually actualizing the data properly enough.
But they're still trying to give a prediction.
Yeah, but my impression is that even those companies that are analyzing data, and my impression is that they have the data scientists behind them, I just don't think that they're...
That actually brings me to his question, because he mentioned one thing. Okay, you know, we are processing data. How do we know that the accuracy of that model
correct.
Is correct?
Right.
Right? So that's why I'm going to go back to my previous statement. No model is foolproof. Nothing is 100% proof, okay? And I'm going to say that aloud, okay? Nobody can tell that my hypothesis is 100% correct because there are so many external factors
right.
there.
Yeah.
Okay, like I'm telling you, so like, you know, I guess we learned about two metrics when we were in high school.
Okay.
One is, pardon me if it is very like technical.
Sure.
So one is quantitative,
yeah.
and another is qualitative.
Yeah.
Quantitative is like,
yeah.
you know, numbers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Qualitative is like our human acumen or like, you know, emotional thing, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So many times when you build a model,
yep.
we only think about the numbers,
yep.
quantitative, right?
Yeah.
So many times we usually don't consider that qualitative metrics in our model. And sometimes those metrics become a determining factor for the prediction.
I gotcha.
But it's not possible for a model
yep.
to consider that because, you know, a model is statistics, you know, like you always like consider math or numbers or something
mm-hmm.
like that. So that's where sometimes your house price prediction model could go wrong.
Yeah.
That's why HAR, Zillow, they usually don't give you accurate thing because
Trump became president.
Because they don't know how things were going to fall apart.
How he became president.
What if some kind of a big incident happened?
Nobody thought he was going to do it.
That's the incident.
Yeah.
Everybody predicted Hillary was going to win.
Well, that's another thing, you know. Yeah.
What?
Because the model.
That's all that you're speaking of.
Yeah,
what?
Everybody did. Yeah, they didn't actually consider that what's going
that's
on.
A good one.
I woke up in the morning. Every data scientist on earth failed me last night.
Actually, trust me, that's $100 on that.
Yeah. I mean, whoever actually bet on Trump?
I was just such a shock.
I would gladly give $100 back, though.
But now, tell you this, though. You can argue the opposite direction with regards to the other polls who are saying, hey, no, we predicted that we were going to win.
And all these political campaigns, they have, like, hundreds of data analysts working from there. They always like process data for a year during the campaign.
Right,
wow.
All this data getting processed is my perception is similar, very similar to how food started getting processed here in the U.S. Okay, so my perception is this data is getting processed by folks who are not really have our best interest at heart. They're really looking for something to get out of
it. The government doesn't have our best interest at heart. No way.
So when somebody publishes that
processing,
thing,
right?
Is gonna be a Trump is
processing, right? Processing.
Well, is there the data was like gone through a quality control? Is there a fact check?
Charging the quality
control?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Who's in charge?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So how are we gonna actually make sure that okay, whatever you just stated, you can literally assert it that and that's gonna come true? You know, it's not possible. Sometimes think about soccer games.
Okay.
Everybody.
Which one?
I could tell that there is one soccer game. Like, you know, Brazil got trashed by Germany 7-1.
When was this?
2014 World Cup.
Oh,
soccer World Cup.
Oh, I remember that.
That was actually in front of like 1,000 Brazilian crowd. You know, like.
Let me ask you this question though. When was the last time Brazil won a full World Cup? Do you remember this?
It was back in 2002 soccer World Cup.
Oh,
yeah, that was like the World Cup happened. It was organized in Japan and South Korea.
That's
it was really memorable World Cup for me because I watched each and every
No kidding. This year is happening, but in late. It's happening like in August.
It's happening, yeah, because of the weather situation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because oh, man, it's going to be super
exciting. It's freaking hot in summertime. Yeah, yeah. That's why they pushed it back.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah. So, yeah, so going back to this this thing, like, you know, soccer, there's so many predictions happening. So many data scientists predicted that, oh, I mean, Brazil is going to thrash Germany.
Yeah.
Who would have thought that the German would going to actually pounded them, literally, yeah. literally pounded them with 7-1.
Yeah.
Okay, so all the prediction, all the models have gone wrong.
Correct.
So yeah, that's the thing. That's
fascinating.
Sometimes the reality doesn't match with the prediction.
Probability factor is a big one, meaning, okay, what's the percentage of predictability? So when people say, like you mentioned, oh, it's 100%, immediately think, that's not probable.
But sports are special.
How do you define probability? You define probability based on historical record.
Yeah.
And it never happened to Brazil, like they got beaten by Germany like that in front of their home crowd. It never happened. Yeah. So when you build a model, that's also an important factor. People should know why the model could go wrong, because sometimes there is some kind of, I would say, unforeseen event.
External factors.
External factor.
Like
unforeseeable
factor.
It never happened before.
The coach may have heard.
If it never happened before, your model would know, it wouldn't be able to know that how they will predict based on that circumstance.
Right, yeah, right.
So that's why we always need to have that 1-2% of, I would say, you know, like the deficiency model.
That's like the Mike Tyson, Buster Douglas thing.
I mean, for a data scientist, I don't think
I remember Buster Douglas was in the 90s.
That was special. But the external factor there was that Mike Tyson partied the night before. Same thing with the Brazilians. Who knows if they partied the night before?
Do you really think a model could actually, Mike Tyson is partying right before the Rumble?
And that's a variable that they're not considering.
That's the qualitative one. I wanted to mention that you can teach a train a model with quantitative metrics like numbers.
Gotcha.
You can't train a model with a qualitative Mike Tyson and partied before the game. You know, like that's a qualitative measure.
And that's yes and no. I guess maybe in today's environment it's not viable. However, these are growing at a super fast rate. And one of the reasons why my intrigue, after watching your channel and understanding it, your level of engagement with regards to the data science environment, was the ability for our audience to understand that this is going on. So a lot of folks, people don't understand, they have a sensation like, I think they're watching me. I think they're collecting my stuff.
Well, information like that is available now. Like, for instance, because everybody has their phone. So if it was today, everybody, oh, look, Mike Tyson's out tonight. And it'll be on Twitter.
Shift.
And then immediately you see the odds in Vegas change.
Yeah.
Right?
So those things that were not predictable back then, because there was not that much social media, there was not that connectivity, shift. And now they could be available now.
Yeah. That basically brings me to the next, you know, part of the data. You guys heard about big data, right?
Oh,
big data.
Yeah. So this is where the big data comes into picture. Okay. Like talking about all this data science and everything, artificial intelligence.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All these things have been around since 1930 or 40. Okay.
Okay.
I mean,
have you guys watched the movie The Imitation Game back in 2014?
Yeah. Imitation Game.
So that movie was based on a famous mathematician from UK, okay? So his name is Alan Turing. So what Alan Turing did is, back in when the Second World War was going on, so British, embassy, the government, they actually hired him to build a kind of a machine, and that machine would decipher Nazi code, which is called Enigma.
Yeah.
So he built a machine that literally kind of like deciphered the code.
Yeah.
So the UK military, they would be able to know where Germans are deploying their military or what would be the next move. So that literally changed the paradigm of the war. Okay. So there's a great movie, An Imitation Game. It was released back in 2014. I think the movie is on either Amazon Prime or Netflix.
Yeah.
Benedict Cumberbatch actually portrayed
that. Okay.
So the reason I mentioned that the machine he built, that was also an artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
Because artificial intelligence is not like Terminator or robot. Yeah, it is. But artificial intelligence, simple term, it is that it gives the machine, or it's kind of a technique that gives machine the ability to mimic human behavior.
Correct.
Like a calculator is also an artificial intelligence. I know a lot of people will disagree with me, but a calculator, you can call it artificial intelligence because a calculation, what your human mind won't be able to do in a quicker manner, calculator would be able to do that. So the basic idea of artificial intelligence is to mimic human behaviors.
I think what we're elaborating is the definition of not just AI, more like a cognitive AI that can make its own decisions. And so
that is where we are coming now.
Okay. Yes.
And the only way to beat that is the human experience.
Cognitive
right?
AI was not possible back in those days. We didn't have enough data.
Yeah.
Okay. So in order to teach your models, think about training your puppy, okay? Yes. Like you just got a puppy. You need to actually train your puppy, like, you know, behavioral training and all kind of stuff, right?
You know, is that what's happening with cats these days? Is that why people are loving cats?
Yeah. You can train a parrot to poop in the toilet.
So think about your data science model like a puppy, okay? So you have to feed all kind of information.
They do have those, they have a puppy.
So it was not possible because we didn't have enough data back in those days. But after this big data revolution, now we have the capacity to train our model with enough data, gigabyte of data, terabyte of data. So more data you would feed into your model, it will memorize that processing.
Yeah. And but it's not just more data, it's organized more data.
It's organized
data
more
with
data.
A pattern.
That's why we, you know,
repetitive
have to process
pattern.
The data.
Repetitive
yeah.
And now you can train your puppy to poop in the toilet.
Exactly. And also, think about that, the autonomous car.
Yeah.
Since we are getting into the cognitive
sure,
AI,
yeah.
like Tesla autonomous car.
Yes.
How the hell did the car is literally just driving on the street by itself?
I mean, are you asking me if I'm going to go through the
details? No, just think about that.
I'm not going through the details, that's what you're asking me
the
for.
Way
data science.
The way things is happening is that there's a thing called, you know, computer vision.
Yeah.
That's actually a subset of AI.
Mm-hmm.
So what they're doing is like, before they build the model, which will be like inbuilt in the car, autonomous car. So they're driving, you know, they're taking pictures of each intersection. They're taking picture of different road condition, you know, and then those are like a data.
Yep.
And they built a model by feeding those data as simulation. So now your model, the Tesla autonomous car would know, okay, if I drive on like, you know, 69, if I go into that intersection, there'll be traffic, there'll be a lot of cars over there. Or, you know, like, they would understand that how the car type look like, you know, how a human object would look like, how a tree would look like, you know, like this is machine. Right? For them, it's like a newborn baby or a newborn puppy. They don't know anything, right? So you got to actually train them. So once they get more data, so they would be, you know, familiar with more information.
Yep.
And that's how they would get into that. Now, there's a lot of debate going on that is there a way like, you know, we can train a human a bot which will literally replace a human.
That's the hardest part. Because the human condition is so different.
Because
curveballs all the time.
Yeah, the human does have conscience.
Yeah.
Right.
You can't train a teach a bot what is conscience. That's an emotional question, right? It's an emotional thing. So that's where the revolution of AI might get stuck. Maybe not proceed further because you can't just, you know, like put all kind of like emotional capacity or kind of a qualitative.
Is that why the autonomous car hasn't been successful yet?
It's not been successful. And most of the cases, the accident happened at intersection. You know why? Because the other bricks will always drive on red.
Right.
And your car won't be able to predict that. Because your car would say, oh, everybody's descending. Everybody's just, you know, drive on green.
Or a meth addict running on the street. Someone coming to clean the windshields and stuff like that. Right.
Well, I would assume as more vehicles become autonomous and the society starts moving in those directions, they'll start communicating.
That's exactly what started in China. I was reading an article. They're actually coming up with a device. They're not going to build autonomous car.
Mm-hmm.
Rather, they will implant some kind of a machine in each car. So each car will talk to each other.
Right.
So there will be an AI bot in your car, in my car. They'll talk to each other.
Yeah.
So they would basically know where you are heading. So, you know, that's how they will communicate. So that makes more sense.
That makes a lot more sense.
It makes more sense for people that want to be okay with other folks letting them know where their car is.
So many people won't be better.
I don't want that thing on my network.
I'm
going to
sleep while I'm driving.
Because they
will
say,
okay,
I don't want to be in that network. I want to worry about my
They don't want
There's a crackhead on that corner.
They want their car to get bugged, they will say, okay, this knowledge is going to spy on us if I put something in my car.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's the nature of the of the exchange.
Exchange.
Lex Axon is more security.
It's a
trade-off.
Give and take,
you know,
man.
It's a trade-off. You know, like, you got to, you know, do something.
And folks are understanding of this trade-off. Hmm. What I don't know, what I'm not sure of, which is why the nature of the invitation to come to the episode is if they understand at what level we are with that trade-off. Where folks are like, oh, I'm just trading off here. Yeah. Whereas like, we're actually trading off a lot. And the more that we're not informed, the farther back we are able to keep
that's
up.
Why I was trying to give you like this real life example. Mm-hmm. These are all going on right now.
Right.
If you go on the internet, we see videos, Tesla autonomous cars. People mm-hmm. are giving description about, okay, so now you're going to EV, your next option would be to buy an autonomous car. So, you know, like they will do shopping for you. You know, like next, I mean, we are getting in that direction.
It's happening already. And it's a predictable pattern in the sense that folks have been predicted that this is going to start happening.
Yeah.
And then what I'm not sure of is if it's happening because of the prediction, which is a self-fulfilling situation, or if it was really a pattern that we were already coming into. Yeah. This is a conundrum that I'm...
I mean, one more example, I just want to wrap up this part by giving you one more example of what is this cognitive AI going to look like and what is going on in the real world. Amazon started their grocery store called Amazon Go. I don't know if you guys heard about that.
I think so, yeah.
I've been to their store in Seattle. I think they only have one store in Seattle in their Amazon office.
Okay.
So what it does is like there will be no counter. There will be no human person who's going to check you.
Oh, I have heard
of this.
So
you're just
going
to walk into the store.
Yeah.
You have the Amazon app with you.
Yeah.
So they will actually track your movement inside the store.
Right.
So whatever this item you'll pick up, it will automatically add you to Amazon cart. So once you just go out of the store, you'll automatically, like, you know, you have your credit card over there, so they charge you, you know, your credit card or your bank account. Or
what happens when you take an item out
and put it back?
Yeah, you don't want it, but you put it in another area.
I did that.
Yes. Studying
it up, baby.
So me and my cousin sister, who actually works for Twitter, so they live in Seattle.
Let me test this.
We wanted to make sure that we're going to actually break their system. I mean, this is back in 2018. They just started that. So what I did, we can literally went to a store. I picked up a protein bar and put in a vegetable.
Okay.
So... But you know what? They actually first showed me that they added the protein bar to my account.
Yeah.
Then after that, they minus, they subtracted.
Oh, they subtracted.
But it took them like 5 to 10 minutes.
10 minutes.
Oh, yeah. They're saying days. Yeah. Okay, great. That's not bad at all.
Here's my question. Now, what if somebody else comes back and picks up that same item that you've wrongfully placed and picks it up?
Because what they're gonna do, they'll still be able to detect it because they're tracking your movement.
Yes.
They have like 1,000 cameras within this like a shop. It's like a very small storage.
I got you.
They're literally tracking each one of your movements. It's like if you go and pick up something,
they must be tracking the items too. Is what
they're tracking.
Yeah,
it's a full computer vision. It's like a totally high, you know, the cutting edge computer vision technology.
Right.
They're moving, you know, tracking your movements.
Sounds like the security guard at Macy's whenever people will try to steal something and they.
So that could be a future. But here is the deal.
Bye bye security guard from Macy's.
They're gonna give me flashbacks back in the day. Look at your pocket.
Amazon was not so successful, you know, like marketing that Amazon's because around the same time they started their, you know, they had the merger acquisition with Whole Foods, right?
Uh-huh.
Amazon bought Whole Foods at that time.
Right.
So the idea was they're gonna create a kind of a little bit of space within all the Whole Foods, you know, like market, so that they would actually run the Amazon Go store within the Whole Foods area. But I don't think so. That strategy, whatever the, you know, the strategy they put in place, were able to implement it across the country. Because right now, if I'm not mistaken, they only had that, you know, have the Amazon Go store operating in Seattle, and maybe they started in one more city. It's just on top of my head, but they're not able to just, you know, transform it into a full scale, you know, level across.
So you have to have an Amazon account to walk in the store.
You have to have an Amazon.
Because I'm thinking, what about like, you know, homeless people, crackheads go and steal something? Like, how would they track that?
Exactly. That's the main thing, you know, because for that they need to actually have a kind of a security guard.
Oh.
But it's like a lot of
the AI.
Is the operating cost who's gonna go high? So I'm not sure because there's a thing called ROI, return on investment, right?
Yeah.
So any company, Whole Foods or any marketplace, if before they implement that in their store, they would obviously try to do some return on investment calculation. I'm not sure that, you know, it's going to be very profitable for them.
That's probably why it's not in San Francisco.
Cost, And especially, I mean, I think we would just see them in Seattle or in the...
There are other factors, though. Not, yeah. they, with regards to implementation of a strategy of this grandeur, I would say, mm-hmm. one is pushback from people talking about, hey, what about the jobs that you're about to cut in the store from
exactly.
the host? That's one.
Yeah. They took our jobs, man!
Well, the thing is, it's one of the natures of this communication is because those jobs, at some point in time, I mean, they may be okay now, but at some point in time, a little bit at a time, they may not be needed anymore. Mm. And so what would be needed is people that can do more complex tasks that the machines are starting to take over.
Yes, that's a really good point. I mean, I'm glad that you just mentioned we can get into that segue because there is also a huge debate going on. Is that machine is going to take over our jobs?
Who?
Machine.
Right.
Machines.
Bots.
Well, some jobs. Everybody. And so what I would say is...
Get ready, John Connor. We need you.
It's cool for that to happen in a way where we're all smiling and happy at the end and having a good time while the machines and all that and the AI is cool
yes.
with like doing the tasks that we don't want to do.
I don't know.
But if we get like a jealous AI...
But
because they picked up the wrong pattern.
So one thing, you know, like, you know, people
humans
who are supporting this, again, I'm a data scientist, but that doesn't mean I am totally aligned with the idea of, like, transforming everything in the space of artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
It's not like that you got to actually implement everything.
Right.
Like,
why is
that? Like,
I
really get irritated when I'm spending 10 minutes of my time talking to a bot for a help desk, you know, or something like that.
Right.
And every time you call a damn help desk, it will take you to the bot.
Right.
Most of the time, they won't redirect your phone to the concerned party.
Right.
Every time, you're just going to stuck in the loop and, like, it's going on
yes.
forever.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah.
Service.
So, I'm not, like, I would say I'm fully supportive of that transformation. But look on the other side, you know, like
sure.
So what the people are saying and we're actually, you know, trying to revolutionize the in every industry in
yep.
the AI space. They're saying that it's not going to cut jobs, rather it's going to create more jobs. But it's like it will create more jobs, but we as a human being, we need to learn more skills.
Yes.
We got to elevate our skills.
It's just that.
Or it will be more of a technical skills. People will stop going to schools. What they're going to do, people are actually going to sit at their home and do a technical certification.
I mean,
how's it going to create more jobs? Because I'm thinking of like the self-checkout. Right, the self-checkout now has one person controlling
10, the full 10,
right, as opposed to one person beep, beep, beep. So how would it create more?
Well, one thing they're saying that, okay, yeah, it's not going to create, you know, more jobs in the checkout area. It's like their role is going to change. Maybe they're going to come up with something like there'll be more people in the surveillance room monitoring the movement.
Interesting.
Think about that. So their roles will be changed. They won't be sitting, you know, in front of the checking counter.
Or working on the cameras.
They're working on the camera.
The
they're going to track movement. So there'll be more people work behind the computer. So the way the things are transforming, more people will be like tech savvy or literate in computer
yeah.
than they were before. And I think it's the correct time to start that because we all millennials.
Yeah.
We literally see the transformation, how technology
right.
is kind of taking over.
Right.
So it's not be possible for the baby boomers, with all due respects.
Yeah, yeah.
but maybe the millennials
okay,
are going to start that thing, and then eventually, I guess, the Gen Z, the next generation, will take it over. Again, that's I don't have a crystal ball. Okay, I wish this.
He just said he has
ball.
A crystal ball. 100% foolproof.
100%.
Don't come after me.
The premium advantage. Okay.
Data science with Sam. Comment on his.
For real. Okay. So we're
good discussion.
That's good. That's great.
So we're talking about data science, and we're talking about the value that it has, and what we don't know that could help us, and what we don't know that could hurt us if we're not aware of what's happening, of all this data that is getting processed and scienced. You know what I'm saying?
Look like a black box if you don't know.
Now, if you're interested in developing this mindset or this career path or this skill set, I guess we could call it, of data science, what would be something that you could consider something that you could show the audience with regards to what it takes to be a data scientist? Is that something that that we can show?
Yeah, definitely. That's a great question because we talked about data science and people are saying, what I'm talking, it seems like a gibberish to me. How I'm going to get into that path? Because it's all about, not about like, you know, making a plan, rather how are you going to implement it,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's kind of data scientists do. Like
yeah.
they, you know, figure out to how to implement the strategy
yeah.
from an analytical point of view or something.
Yeah.
So I can actually show you guys something that how you can transition into a data science field.
Smooth.
And what are the key skill set that you'll need to become a data scientist?
Key skill. Hold on a second. Let's list this up. for computer science, IT.
Let me stand up.
Go.
All right.
Machine learning, math science, data science.
Oh. So this is actually a very beautiful, very popular Venn diagram. Say, whoever wants to be like a data scientist,
it's popular, it's not copyrighted.
Perfect.
Whatever you can call
it. You told me to put it on here.
So,
data science with Sam.
I should put the copyright sign. It's not copyrighted. So the thing is like that, this Venn diagram, what it represents, that what are the skill set that you need to become a data scientist, regardless of, you know, which industry you work for, you know, like, so doesn't matter.
That's great for every industry to get
every
this information
industry.
So I'm going to get into that goal.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm going to get into that.
Great.
So first, it starts with computer science or IT. You need to be, you know, very flexible or very familiar with computer.
Because
when I'm talking about the computer,
it's
like, I'm talking about the programming language. Now you're going to make the model, you need to teach computer, okay, what programming language, you know.
Do you have a degree in computer science? Or
I do have a degree in computer science. I actually did my bachelor degree in computer science from an university in India. Then I came over here, then I completed my master's degree in data science from University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. So I'm an UIUC alumni.
I actually have a degree in computer science as well from University of Houston.
Houston?
Yes.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
So you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I do.
Okay, so now, so when we are talking about this computer science IT, okay, people are saying, okay, so how do I get into computer science? You can get a degree or you can learn a programming language. I mean, choose your best programming language. There are so many programming languages now, kind of popular among the data science communities. But I would, for your audience, I would actually point out two programming language, and there is one database. So one programming language is Python. That's a really popular programming
Python,
language.
Python, like the snake.
Yeah. And if you really want to get into the data science field, please run the, you know, try to start, you know, learning the Python programming language. The next one is R. So R is kind of like, I would say it's not a programming language, it's more of like a statistical language.
Okay.
R
it's
like
just R.
Okay.
R as Romeo.
Like,
or R as Rodeo. R as Rodeo. We're Texans, right? So the R and Python, these are the two popular languages that people are using right now to, you know, just get into the data science field, you know, do all kind of analysis and other stuff.
Okay.
And there is another thing. When you work on data, you need to create a database.
A database.
Right?
Excel.
So when you're talking about
Excel.
Database.
Excel. You use Excel.
Excel is not a database. Okay. Excel is not a database.
Oh.
Okay. That's a misconception people have.
So what's a database?
So database is, well, because you can't, I mean, it's difficult to keep, 1,000 gigabytes of data in Excel. You can't do that. Excel will crash. Okay, that's why we need a database, because database will give you that ability to synthesize the data, process the data, and query the data so you can get information very quickly.
Gotcha.
That's why we need database. So now, since you already, you know, done your computer science, you know that the, how efficient a database would be to query or get information quickly.
Yep.
So there's, again, when it comes to database, there are so many database languages out there. So there is one of my favorites was like SQL. You know, SQL is a really, you know, great programming, you know, database language. So many people are efficient in Oracle.
Again,
it depends on which kind of database you're using. Okay.
Yeah.
And Oracle is always progressing. Also, like, as you learn what, like, you know, C++ things, they tend to kind of progress, and you have to keep up on them as they challenge.
That's a really good point. You know, because SQL Server is a Microsoft product.
Right.
And they keep updating their system.
Right.
So when you work in an industry, okay, so you always have to be, up to date your software so that it won't be vulnerable against the cybersecurity. Because most of the hackers, most of the software, if the outdated softwares are very prone to hacking.
Mm-hmm.
So all the cybersecurity people, they usually always tell you, oh, we keep updating your software. You know, like you use MacBook or you use Windows, right? You keep getting notification, oh, update your operating system. Why you get that? Because the reason actually they're saying that the software update will safeguard your computer from external cyber attack.
Nice.
Okay, so that's the main reason.
Got it.
Okay, so going back to this computer science ID, so if you really want to be a data scientist, just learn R, Python, these two programming languages, and try to be efficient in one other database language. I would definitely give you a recommendation to learn SQL. SQL or MySQL, the same thing. If you learn either of those two languages, then
Python
be good.
And SQL.
Python and SQL, these are the two things. Okay, so now, once we get done in the computer science part, and this is a part of the, you know, one of the big circles of the Venn diagram, the next one is math and statistics. So that's where the thing's getting a little complicated. So when you're talking about, okay, you are telling me that you have a database, you know some programming language, so I can actually use the SQL or Python to pull some data from database.
Yeah.
Then what? Okay, so after that, what I'm going to do with the data, okay, how I'm going to analyze it further, or how I can build a model by getting the data from those database.
Mm-hmm.
So in those cases, you need to understand the mathematics or statistics behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Like you need to, when I'm talking about mathematics, it's not only about knowing the probability function. It's also knowing about how you can develop a model that can predict something.
Gotcha.
Like for example, I'm not going to get into those, you know, like technical jargons here, but there is a thing called when you predict, say suppose financial forecasting,
sure,
or cryptocurrency prediction,
sure,
stock prediction, okay?
Yeah.
So what do you do, okay? So you basically collect the data, historical data,
yeah,
okay? You run it through a model,
yeah,
and that model, we call it as a linear regression model.
Yeah.
That's like a very basic model.
Linear regression
linear
model, from
regression.
My understanding, yeah,
yeah,
from my understanding,
yeah,
of a linear regression model, is a model that looks at past events, looks at them, organizes them, and it creates, but it depends also which points you use, because if you use the wrong points, you make it create the wrong prediction.
Exactly,
model.
Exactly. Because linear regression is like, if we all, I mean, you don't have to be a data scientist to know linear regression, because I think,
yes,
in high school mathematics, they literally taught us about linear regression.
Like algebra?
Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's linear algebra.
Linear algebra.
I learned it in
kindergarten.
It's linear algebra. It's like y equal to that mx plus c, you know, that thing, you know? So that's the basic foundation of regression model.
Got it.
So people will talk about that. Oh, you're talking about mathematics science.
Yeah, because some people don't learn math.
Yeah,
you know,
we learned some basics of all this, you know, statistics in high school. Yeah. Linear algebra. I'm not even talking about calculus. Forget about calculus. Okay.
Yeah. What's calculus?
So if you learn linear algebra,
yeah,
then you know what you know. At least you can tell I have a kind of a basic foundation to learn more on,
gotcha,
that.
So
okay,
math,
so this
science,
mathematics and statistics,
gotcha,
computer science, couple of it together. So once you join this together, you are actually in a good shape that to build model or machine learning. So now the next part is coming, domain and business knowledge.
Okay.
So what is this?
This is the part where we really need to be aware of. Because this is one of my concerns. Well, among all the concerns,
yeah, concerns.
A bunch. It's because when we're here,
yeah,
starting with isolated concerns.
Yeah,
subscribe.
Business. This business knowledge is the business that
you are going to work on, specific to your industry.
We need it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like suppose, say the way you are, you know, Robert is a financial analyst, okay? So he wants to hire a data scientist, okay? So in that case, how he's going to interview that, you know, like, so suppose you actually appointed somebody else to take interview in computer science,
yeah,
mathematics, and you are only going to focus on the domain, you know, business knowledge,
yeah,
part. So what you're going to ask that, you know, data scientist during the interview process,
yeah,
you're going to ask, you know, do you know basic about finance?
Yeah.
Or do you know what this thing or, you know, that matrix is? So because that thing is very important, like, I work at AIG, you know, insurance, so I've been working in insurance industry for more than 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I do have that insurance, you know, business acumen that I can apply to my, you know, data science or data analytics skill.
Okay.
So, but if somebody would ask me, okay, go to another industry, go to healthcare or, you know, manufacturing or retail. So in that case, there are two options data scientists would have in that case if they switch industry. Either first option is they will collaborate with the subject matter expertise,
mm-hmm,
of that industry, or they will acquire the business knowledge by themselves and they will apply that.
Gotcha.
That's also important, because if you don't know, because when you're talking about business knowledge, that you need to understand the data, because when you're talking about data, it is like a table. Okay, so suppose a data set has like a 10 columns, but you don't know which column you need to choose,
yeah,
to,
right,
build your prediction model.
Right.
So that knowledge would come from this. Okay, like if I would, if I come to like a insurance industry, like one of the biggest factors for insurance industry is the policy number.
Yeah.
You know, like policy we booked, you know, we have,
yeah,
unique number or something like that. Something in finance area. So how would you know all this knowledge? For that, you need to basically develop your business knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Questions?
Yep.
Questions.
Why would a financial analysts, mm-hmm. let's say, who works for like a brokerage firm, want to hire data scientists, wouldn't they think that they know everything about that information?
That's a great question. That's a great question. So the reason actually this data science thing is coming along in different industry, mm-hmm. because when a financial analyst would actually work on, like, suppose building a model or something like that,
yeah.
their limitation, they would sometimes they would have limitation in the sense that they might not be very efficient in computer science area. They might be very efficient in these two areas.
I see what you mean.
And they need a data scientist to add that extra skill set in programming language, which they can utilize, leverage, to build a prediction model in the sense of artificial intelligence, machine learning. You know what I mean?
Yep.
The reason
yes.
I'm telling that, because yes. I work in the insurance industry.
Yeah. Huh?
We do have actuaries. And actuaries are the traditional data scientists. I mean, I don't know, you have any actuaries in your viewer list. Yeah, the actuaries.
What is that? I don't even, what is that?
So it's an actuarial science. Yeah. It's like in insurance world, we do risk assessment.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay, so we do, like, for example, you book a policy, right? So what your insurance company will do, they say, okay, Jacinto, he's like, you know, mid-30, he does this, he doesn't smoke, he doesn't drink, his lifestyle is pretty good.
Shoot, okay. I wish.
I know that information is not correct, but I'm just saying. And his medical records are pretty good.
There was your blood, though. There was your blood.
Oh, yeah. I see what you mean. Like, he goes so bungee now, jumping, he does all these extra
so
things.
So now, who will actually going to assess the risk? Who is going to tell you that how much insurance premium you're going to pay? Okay, so that calculation, that you know the risk assessment starts from the actual department, and it would go up to the underwriters. An underwriter is the last person who is actually defined what will be your insurance premium.
Okay.
Have you noticed that whenever you go to an insurance website, they'll ask for all the information, your age, your medical records,
smoker,
non-smoker.
Yeah, yeah.
So this not to brag about a lot of stuff, but the smoking is one of the biggest metrics to determine someone's insurance premium.
Smoking what?
Yeah, because if you smoke, your insurance premium will go up. So yeah, if you guys are thinking of quit smoking, please do that, mm-hmm. because that will definitely lower your insurance premium.
Tobacco. Talk about tobacco.
Yes.
Okay. Just clarifying on that. Shout out to my friends in California.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. So that's one of the biggest factors. Okay. Yeah, we're talking about
yes.
this computer science IT. So,
yes.
So that's why, so actuaries, what they do, you know, they can collaborate with data scientists. So they may not be a lot of, you know, efficient in computer science.
Yeah.
They might know programming language, but they don't know how to scale up their code
yeah.
so it can build something, you know, bigger.
Yeah,
so that's
sense.
Why they need to collaborate with everyone. So being a data scientist, if you want to be a super data scientist, you're a superman.
Super data scientist.
So you need, if you have all these skill set, like you already have computer science skill and you have like knowledge in mathematics and statistics, coupled with domain and business knowledge, there you go. You can call yourself a data scientist.
You put that S on your chest, bam! Super data scientist.
So think about that. Just, you know, like memorize this Venn diagram. If you really want to be a data scientist, at least you need to make sure that you have these two important skill sets under your
belt. Which one? Computer and math?
Computer science and mathematics.
Yeah, at least math. If anything, at least math.
Hey,
that's a big
thing.
One, because a lot of people don't like math.
No, but one more thing. If you, you took computer science for undergrad, right?
Yeah.
You know that we do have mathematics in our first and second semester.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and why do you have that?
I would always differentiate.
Why do
you
have that?
Man?
Because computer science is also kind of the fundamental, you know, the thing is based on statistics.
Sure.
Computer is nothing but a Boolean number,
right.
0 and 1. Okay, it starts from mathematics or, you know, mathematical number. So you know, being a computer science, people would actually, you know, a little bit about mathematics, statistics, you know.
We'll have to,
In a nutshell, if you have this three skill set, I think you're ready to get into the data science field. At least if you have a, you know, program R, if you know Python and SQL, and you have some basic knowledge in mathematics and statistics, you can definitely get into that. There are a lot of online certifications are out there. You can also, like, you know, get into, like, there's a website called Coursera. It's like an education platform.
Coursera?
It's called Coursera. It's an education platform. You can just go there. You can do some online certification, like five.
Put that in the description. Yeah.
Yeah. Just put that in, yeah. Just check in the description. Just, you know, do a 5-6 months. You know, online certification.
That's all it takes. About 5-6 months.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
There are so many online certifications on data science that out there that you can even.
Now, do you have to have some sort of background in these things to go ahead to be
you,
good?
You sometime, but there are like three. That's a really good question. Actually, there are three different levels they set in the Coursera platform.
Okay.
I think one is beginner's level, intermediate level, expert, advanced level.
Sure.
So you can start at the beginner level. Okay, so there I think they would teach you probability and all kind of stuff that you learned in your computer science class or, you know, high school. Okay, they will actually start with the linear algebra and something. There are some certifications out there. You know, just check the video caption, we'll share this information there. So yeah, so this those kind of certifications would be really helpful for someone who would like to get into that field. Because not everybody want to like go to school, you know, like spend like 2 years like I did to learn data science. But in some cases, if you have short, like, you know, 5-6 months, you can literally get into that. But one thing, my last statement would be that how you can become a data scientist. I know you need to learn programming language. I know you need to learn mathematics. I know you need to have some business domain knowledge. But one thing, above all, you need to be curious, you need to have the perseverance to become a data scientist.
That's it right there.
Because that's the main important thing.
Yep.
Not about data scientists, every field, okay?
Yep.
If you have curiosity, if you love what you want to do, if you love doing what you're doing right now, then I think you're fine. You don't have to get into data science. Maybe that's not your area, okay? Yeah. But if you really think that, okay, this data science thing seems very intriguing, you know, let's try that. And then after that, you start loving it, then maybe you can go for it. Because it doesn't matter whether you know R or Python or SQL, Oracle, because all this skill set, anybody can teach anyone.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing people can't teach you is the curiosity. Because again, as I said, you know, data scientist to me is more of like a data detective.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's where the, you know, the curiosity comes. You know,
so whichever field you're in, this is valuable information to have, whether you learn it yourself or hire someone like you to improve
their skill. Yeah. You know, because you can train someone, you can train monkey or some skill, but you can't train monkey that how to grow interest. There's a quote that I forgot the quote, so I just made it.
I like that quote.
But there's a quote.
You put that on a t-shirt?
So always, you know, curiosity and perseverance. You need to have those two factors.
Be a monkey.
I mean, I think I read a quote, I forgot about that. There is a, I guess, NASA scientist or SpaceX scientist who got rejected by NASA like a few years back, but he always wanted to be an astronaut.
Yeah.
But now he landed a job at SpaceX. He's doing the same thing what NASA is doing.
Speaking of monkeys and astronauts, didn't we send monkeys initially?
Oh, yeah.
And they, did they train?
Luca, it is Luca. What is that?
I don't know.
And they
trained it to use buttons up there while it was doing things, right?
Wow. And now they're doing the same monkey experiment in what is that Elon Musk company that started on
SpaceX?
Neuralink.
Oh, Neuralink. Oh, yeah.
So what they're doing, they're actually putting a brain chip in a monkey's brain, and monkey's playing ping pongs, and it's totally controlled by the chip.
Yeah.
Whoa,
okay, so monkey's not doing anything. Yeah, there's a famous video out there on that. You know, like, so
can
monkey's
we find that somewhere?
Just look for Neuralink monkey ping pong. It's gonna show up. There are so many YouTube links.
I cannot wait to see this. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, so that's the thing, you know, like, it's all about curiosity, perseverance, and just, you know, broaden your horizon. Think big, you know, like, I think that's how we can get
into
it. I like it.
All right. So that's all for now. Hopefully, this will give you enough information that how you can transition into the data science field. But it's very important that how you can actually get into that. These are the prerequisites that you need to become a data scientist. So just check that out.
Cool. Whoa, so, man. That was a very informative session of our episode. Now, in my mind, when I saw data science, I saw robots.
In your mind,
I saw a little deal there, and I saw a little head there, and I'm going,
Let me clarify that. Okay.
Yeah, we got two things here.
See, the bot is representing AI.
Yes.
This one is representing deep learning or whatever neural
engine
is doing.
Shout out to
this one is my man. Magnet flying glass.
Sherlock Holmes.
I thought that was as long as the presentation was going to be with regards to the Venn diagram. I was like, oh, it's deeper than the three things. We have five things. I like it.
Yeah.
Because it entails with regards to how much more.
More you can do.
That is correct. And the amount.
I can talk about it all day. I mean, I know we have limited time, but you know.
Yeah, well, the most important part is for folks to understand that there is a field out there that is growing.
And it doesn't take a lot of population to use this. You know what I'm saying? Because once you get the data, you're able to use it.
You can learn it from home. All you need is a computer.
But now, you have to understand that it is also being used by businesses. It is a growing thing in businesses. The data is getting processed. That information is going. There's value in that data. You should be understanding of this because this is all around.
I mean, okay? I don't actually have the statistics on top of my head, but data science, that particular role, is kind of like has the fastest growing jobs or roles in the current market right now.
I would definitely understand.
There are like so many people would like to get into this field, not because it's a hot topic or something.
How? But whether they get into the field or not, they need to understand how valuable the field
is.
That's
what I'm saying. It's
right?
Not like everybody can become a data scientist.
Sure.
You need, still need to have that mindset.
Yeah, and everything. Like math.
How does this all plug into today's environment?
Yes, now, what does it mean for me?
For real.
Right?
In the sense that folks are like, okay, great. Now you told me how I want to become a data scientist, which a lot of people I would say are like, yeah, I'm okay with that.
A lot of people don't even like algebra.
Hey,
like
a lot of people want to turn the channel off already. They're like, oh, no, they're talking about this.
Yeah, like,
hey,
they're talking about something. Sci-fi.
They're like, no, we're out.
It's like the standard joke where the kids bring home the homework and their parents are like, I don't remember this from school.
Exactly. Go to your homework.
Exactly.
So how do we shift it in a way where folks can go, oh, politics is involved. Data science is now in politics, right? Even though it failed us in one particular...
It's in sports as well.
It's in sports. It's in gambling.
Yes.
It's in social media. It's in our devices, right? It is creating predicting situations.
It is dating apps.
Well, people... I'm sure you're aware. Maybe you're also that. Companies know... When women are pregnant, just by their shopping habits, before women are pregnant.
Oh goodness gracious!
Let me tell you. Okay,
I don't know. Some people do know that. Some people do not know that. But
let's
because of what women,
subject.
Yeah, there is a credit card. You swipe it around.
Wow.
You swipe it in one or two places. Company's like, that lady's pregnant. And they can also predict the guy. That guy's wife is pregnant.
So should we use cash now?
One more thing I want to add to that list is like, I think all the young teenagers will be interested to know that.
TikTok.
So many videos are out there in TikTok. They usually do crazy stuff, right?
Right.
They add pictures, they blur your picture.
What is this?
TikTok?
It's called TikTok.
Have you used TikTok? I've heard people talking about.
Okay,
but I'm trying to keep up.
It's kind of,
I'm barely on YouTube. Trying to keep up.
That's kind of like one of
now we do TikTok.
What it does is like TikTok is more of like a company they started with. You know, it's very popular in the Gen Z.
Yes, I do know what it is, man. You don't have to explain that. I'm just kidding.
So what they're doing is like they're. Yeah, actually using the data,
okay.
They're doing computer vision to come up with weird,
weird
videos.
The robot,
algorithm. You know, they're all kind of like using data science. So that's one of the things. You know, people will think, how data science are helping us.
Yeah.
Think about
it's
how much
helping. It's not helping.
It's not helping, but it's kind of creating an illusion.
Yeah, yeah.
And you spend so much time now.
Somebody.
Yeah, just going through the reels.
It's very popular
in the Hollywood and in the movie industry because everybody wants to be an actor actress by making TikTok videos now.
Right.
But yeah, so that's kind of I would say in the sense I'm not talking about it's a positive or negative impact.
Yeah.
I'm saying again it's an impact on society.
It's an impact. You're right. You're absolutely right. And the nature of this communication and this entire engagement is to communicate that the impact is there and you can participate in the impact. Understand and just be aware.
Exactly.
So it's the biggest thing. It's
like, you don't have to be like a data scientist to understand the impact because there's so many things are going on around the world people don't even know. So I think the idea of this video is to just to bridge that gap,
sure.
To make people aware of that there are some of the real life applications are being driven by data science. There's one more application I could tell, Alexa.
She's listening. She's listening to everything. And I call her a sheep, but it's
and a everything is processed to her data. And
it's Nikki. They already got me calling the machine a sheep. You see how sneaky that those people are?
Man.
That's intriguing. If you're calling Alexa a sheep, you're already falling for it.
Gotcha.
So that basically brings me to a very important matter that, the sneaking thing, because Google Smart, Alexa.
Sneaky. This whole thing is about the sneakiness that's happening.
They are actually listening to us. But One thing is happening right now is that's why most of the AI companies are, I guess, fit, literally just running after them. We got to build AI governance.
AI
rules.
Yeah,
governing.
Yeah, when I say we, I mean, when you say we, I'm hoping you're meaning
government.
Government.
Government. Because what happened back in 2008 when financial recession happened, we all know that government has to start all this thing because I work in financial sector, so I know what my company went through after 2008. Mm. Similarly, we need to start that with AI as well. Otherwise, we would see something like catastrophic thing happened in the AI industry.
I see.
Okay, so that's why AI governance is very important, and thankfully, most of the big tech companies are kind of like batting an eye on that. They're trying to come up with the AI governance team, at least, so they can actually build, I would say,
some
kind of
rules
or guidelines or something.
How can I get on this team? I got math. I got math. What else do I need?
What you need is to have, like, I would say, a judgment.
I got it. I have a judgment.
Proper judgment.
I have several judgments.
What is right or what is wrong?
I have all of that. I have right and wrong. I'm both.
So, yeah, so that's one of, so I can give you one example of
that. Okay, okay.
There's a thing going on, it's like, you know, customer bias. Okay, so when you call a customer help desk, okay, so there are people from all over the world with different accent, different way they're talking, okay? There, sometimes it's happened that some AI bots are kind of aligned to responding to people with certain community.
With accents? Yeah. They're making bots with accents?
So that's why they're actually building some sort of like AI governance where they would actually eradicate the bias from the
because they're going to start discriminating in a way, right?
So when you do a demographic analysis, right, like that's all something.
Well, what the term is, what a message would sound that. Like, I guess, to some degree. And then on top of that, we're still, I mean, that is part of, there's a test, the Lehman test, what's the test?
Litmus
test?
Yes, the one where you can't distinguish whether it's AI or not AI.
I know we're talking about AI.
This adds to that feature of being able to, that sounds like, it's an accent. Mm-hmm. A robot ain't gonna have an accent.
Well, that's the thing, you know, like, so I don't know exactly how they're discriminating that, but there's something going on, and it's kind of a sensitive matter to most of the, you know, tech companies.
Sure.
You don't know how Amazon Alexa is kind of, you know, like processing your voice command, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that particular technique is called Internet of Things. Sorry.
Yeah.
Because that's how they process voice command and transform the voice command into transcripts. And the transcript usually commands your TV to get turned on or light, whatever, you know, like that's how it works. So now you don't know how Alexa is actually, you know, like listening to your voice, and you don't know how they're actually storing the data in their database. You don't know, because everything is connected, because the first thing you need to connect to your Alexa is internet. And
what bugs me like super a lot, right? Like in my mind, Alexa's like, hey, you're running out of whatever now. Mm. And it's like, do you want to order some more? And in my mind, I'm like, you know that I do. Just get it to the door. Why are you making me click? You already know that it's going to get ordered. You already got the batter.
I want Amazon to break in my house. Drop the stuff in front of me.
Well, leave it in the front. By the way, make sure they deliver it right at the front.
No, I want them to put it in my mouth.
Amazon, do your thing.
Do your thing. Just take me away, Amazon.
The other thing I'm going to tell
you, as long as you do it at a reasonable rate,
what's your definition of reasonable? Way more difficult than I thought of sometime. You know, like, it's just, that's the thing
you're saying.
I told you, like,
So my uncle has my, shout out to my tio Toto. He would never see this because he has no idea how to use anything technology. he says chicken, right?
Chicken.
Right? So we were messing with him one day. Hey, tell Alexa something about it. I think it was a chicken recipe. He says chicken. So he had no idea what he was talking about. But then like a few months later, he said it again and it worked. It recognized that he said chicken and did chicken. So
that's how they memorize, you know, like, yeah. So when you say that for Alex, so, you know, you gotta say something, like, that's how it literally learns your voice command.
Yeah.
It learns everything the way you're...
Just keep talking, Karen, keep talking to me. Like
that's fascinating.
So, yeah,
it is.
And there is the technique behind that is called Internet of Things. Yeah. That's also a subset
Internet of Things.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a subset of artificial intelligence. Yeah. Like, computer vision, Internet of Things, natural language processing,
sure.
These are all under the same artificial intelligence umbrella.
Wow.
Okay.
Cool. So man, this is there is infinite.
As I told you, I can talk about this all day.
Yeah, because it's touching every aspect of it. It's touching every aspect of our reality. It's going to be, it's going to shift things in every angle. We need to be aware.
Definitely. Yeah.
So as we keep moving, and we evolve from the conversation from data science, and we connect it to other things that are happening.
Yeah.
What are some of the topics? Artificial intelligence space and the real life stuff.
The real life, because it's all, now it's actually all connected, but it's at the tips of the connection. And we are they've already communicated. Just let it be the tip, and we'll be okay. Just keep going. And where is it? Okay. Where is it? Okay. Right?
If they're interested, they will. If they're interested, just. Put comments, whatever the question you have regarding artificial intelligence, data science, just feel free to shoot your question in the comment section.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this question, Mr. Data Scientist, since it's a hot topic.
Okay, I got a title, Mr. Data
Scientist. Super Data Scientist.
Thank you for the comment.
How many data scientists predicted that Will Smith is going to slap the crap out of Chris Rock?
How many data scientists that take the
screen? I don't think so.
But now, is the key factor. This is the unpredictable event. Yes or no?
But that's
we're getting manipulated. Now we're getting manipulated.
This was the Mike Tyson thing that Germany-Brazil thing would never happen.
So who would have thought that somebody walked onto the Oscar stage and slapped the shit out of
someone? And it's a human aspect that we could not...
we could not predict, but then now there's questions.
Yeah.
There's questions.
Now anything could happen?
Anything could happen. Was that real? Did they plan it specifically to alter the points with regards to... Because there's a lot of accusations that the Oscars were losing ratings. That there's now Chris Rock has a show that has a lot more attention. That is booming. All for a little slap. I mean, not like he bled. If it would have bled, I would have been like, oof. The hit, but it was the slap. And they're both actors, by the way. Yeah, I said it.
And
it
just so happens that, that Pfizer was a sponsor. Sponsor of the Oscars, and Will Smith has a movie coming out soon.
Well, Will Smith always has a movie. Well,
and Chris Rock's career has been
all of those, my impression is that all of those actors' careers, because they pass a particular threshold of their exposure.
Right.
Also, you need to think about the Oscar. A lot of people actually forgot about this Oscar.
I didn't even know about it.
Yeah. And why? It's because Oscar ceremony usually happened towards the end of February.
Yeah.
They pushed it to March because of the COVID thing.
Oh.
And as soon as that slap incident happened,
yes.
That was a top trending on Twitter.
This was purposeful. Okay. I'm getting upset because
but it was a well scripted or maybe it was not scripted.
Beautiful.
And both of them are like that.
Beautiful. Alright, who wants to get slapped? Let's get the ratings up. I'll do both of you for the ratings.
So slap me or I will get slapped.
Yeah, I'm not gonna
But when I saw the slap again, by the way, I looked like I just slapped him with the tip.
He did.
He looked like he slapped him with the tip.
Anyway, it's a tip.
Just let me do the tip, Chris. That's what he said.
It was a Hollywood slap.
Just a tip.
Well, it was a Hollywood
slap. Who knows better than a guy from Hollywood?
Actually, he's the one who brought it to my attention. Yeah. He's like, oh, no, man. I was like, oh, yeah, you're right. I went back. I was like, yeah. He's right. He didn't bleed.
No idea
he didn't
what you're look like. About.
Anywho, so this is a situation that we're got. Now everybody's
going back to your question. And like,
what was the question?
How many data scientists?
But then now the prediction point comes in.
Yeah.
What's going to happen with the Oscars? Right. What is the prediction for next year? How's the movie going to do? How's it going to do? And is it worth repeating in other shows? Are more people going to start slapping each other for that?
Who knows that? Many people will think about that. Okay. Who knew? There's a speculation that Andrew Garfield. Supposed to be the best actor. He's supposed to get the best actor award.
Okay.
But after the slap incident,
Spider-Man?
Is that Garfield?
Yeah, Andrew Garfield.
Yeah, not for the Spider-Man, for the tick, tick, boom.
Oh, but the Spider-Man was...
Yeah. So you were supposed to get that.
What was this movie about? Hold on a second.
I think it was a movie about a music director.
Oh, it's a musical director?
Yeah, I actually watched that movie.
I gotta watch the movie.
So it's, I think she was based in New York, and then...
They're all on Netflix right now.
Yeah, he did a really good thing in the... Some of his music got played in the Broadway opera shows, and then he became famous, and then he suddenly passed away.
He's a great actor.
Yeah. So anyway, so people are saying that Andrew Garfield deserved the Best Actor Award. Yeah. So it's a conspiracy theory that they started with the slap incident, and they handed the award to Will Smith. So who knows?
I know. The premium advantage people know.
That's right.
All I'm saying is we went through the... here's the deal. We went through the elongated explanation of your profession, of what it takes to understand and to be in this world. As I was sitting here going, oh my goodness, it takes a lot to be a data scientist. It's been 5 minutes and Sam lives this world. Right? And the purpose of it is to create the understanding, the complex understanding of this situation, which now it's going in a lot of directions, and if we don't catch it, if we don't use it, like, we're going to be behind.
Yeah,
you lose it.
That's right.
The main thing is like here, over here is like data science. It's again a part of science. Okay, science based on hypothesis. Sometimes it gets true. Sometimes it doesn't happen because so many factors are there. Because when you're talking about science, you're talking about bringing everything in the nature or something like that.
But those are always ones and zeros. But when you add the human element, it just throws it all off.
Human element, not only human element, a natural state. I mean, you're talking about this Will Smith thing. Okay, so I don't know what was going through his head when he saw Jada Pinkett's face. And like, she was literally pleased at Chris.
I think the face was like, hey, you're supposed to get up and go slap that fool now.
Yes.
Oh, shit, I was laughing at the joke. I was laughing at the joke. I was supposed to gotta go slap this guy.
Do wives have that look prepared and always?
Hey,
man,
you're supposed to go slap him. Oh,
Love can make you...
I'm never getting married.
So it's like love can make you do something weird.
In my
machine starts to love,
something might be possible. Yeah. Have you guys watched that movie Ex Machina?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's
a good one.
So what if a machine would learn to some extent it started developing that human element, the emotional
content? I think it's already there. There are some robots I've seen that they make their faces,
Or it
makes faces, but it can't.
But it's all you need. Keep in mind, it's 80% is body language,
Yikes.
So it's like,
They already got
us calling Alexa a she. You see what I
mean? One thing to understand, as a human being, we are not perfect. We have so many flaws. But that those flaws are making us what we are.
Right.
So a machine should not be a perfect.
Right.
If it wants to be a human, because we are not perfect.
I mean, but to your point, it's like that perfect. That we.
Except R2-D2.
That's a deep understanding
of psych,
Because perfection is subjective to some degree.
Relative, obviously.
And so imperfection, you can't really achieve it to some degree. You know what I mean? Because who's perfect for you is not perfect for me.
Yeah. So the history of evolution. If you talk about Charles Darwin, he talks about that. So it kind of brings us to that. So every time something evolved from a mistake, maybe.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
That's how penicillin was made.
From greater resistance to try to be more effective at.
Yeah. Because evolution won't happen if you don't see an unforeseeable scenario.
Yeah.
It'll always be like a monotonous. Oh, they're the same thing. The same pattern.
Yeah.
So if you want to evolve, that's why human beings also get better, right?
Yeah.
There's a quote, right? If you really want to get better, you have to try something which you've never done before.
Yeah,
right?
Sure. Right.
Quote, like,
correct.
Right.
So we're all here in this environment because
we never actually did that before. That's why we're doing it.
Yeah,
so now this thing will go on.
Right.
So so that's the thing, so being a human, the machine, when the machine will start learning by itself.
Yeah.
Then that's the kind of warning sign. That's kind of like
that's when
the first start of the the beginning of the judgment.
But there's already a date for that. Somebody already said a date for this is like 2034.
What, really?
Yeah, there's a date.
Is it the Nostradamus?
The Aztecs?
There is a gentleman. Excuse me, because you guys are all screaming in my ears. But I know the name. But there's a gentleman that
it's going to be a link down there.
Technology doubles every 2 to 4 years, or the
efficiency. Technology apocalypse, or something like that.
Right, correct. Which is what they
run for the hills.
I mean, they
Prediction date is 2034. We'll see.
It's that's actually within our life expectancy. Again, well, I'm a person from insurance. I know we are going to survive till 2034. We don't have to go there, hopefully.
I like it. Yeah.
So who knows what will happen in 2034.
Well, Back to the Future predicted flying cars in 20, I think it was 15?
2015.
Something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah,
right.
When you can actually literally use banana peels to like start your engine.
Right, yeah, exactly. So, I mean, how far-fetched is that?
Would
you say 2034?
Maybe it could.
Man, that's like
Tesla. Come on, Tesla. Come on, Elon, hurry up. All right. Oh, man, how are we looking with the time? Is that time accurate?
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right, cool.
Yeah.
So, what else is going on that you guys would like to include in the conversation with regards to politics, with regards to sports? We got some things in the notes over there. But is there anything in particular that comes to mind?
I know we have like limited time, kind of.
Sure.
But what I was thinking, the one thing I wanted to add here is from sports analytics standpoint.
Oh, yeah, of course.
We are still, you know, focusing on the data science aspect. So in terms of sports analytics, you know, remember that Venn diagram, that business domain knowledge,
yeah,
is important over there as well.
Yeah.
So to get into the sports analytics field, I think I can't get into a baseball or American football, even if I've been following baseball for the last 10 years.
Yeah.
I know I have that capacity. I know a lot of things about baseball.
Yeah.
But I'm from India.
Yeah.
I've been following soccer for entire my life.
Yeah.
So I can be a good data scientist maybe in cricket or soccer because
yeah,
I know the game. So you got to know the game to become a data scientist in sports analytics field as well. Okay. So baseball, I think baseball would be my best bet because, you know, kind of, there are a lot of rules that are kind of similar with cricket.
Go Astros.
The quantity versus quality scenario that you're mentioning, meaning you could put the numbers in it, but you don't have the quality to understand what's happening with the game.
That's more difficult in sports. That's why prediction is very difficult in sports in comparison to other industry. Because sports, anything could be possible. Especially in soccer, anybody could beat anyone on that day.
Yeah.
A small team could beat a big team on that day. How would you predict that?
Yeah.
Because when you predict something...
Well, I have a challenge now that you're saying this. World Cup, and I've been saying it for a while. World Cup predictions.
Okay.
I think this is something that I would really like to get into, is World Cup predictions, where we are now. Maybe get a couple of episodes into the description of the teams, one or two episodes.
I think we should do a pair of podcasts from World Cup.
I like it.
Yeah.
It's coming, it's coming. So that's
we can definitely bring more people.
Yes. It's going to be a good, exciting time.
Yeah.
Prepping
let's do that sometime in summer, because that's where people will start prepping for
this. Yes.
Because now, people are busy. People are literally busy in, you know, following all the national leagues.
Yeah.
The English Premier League is still going on because I follow my club, Manchester United. Manchester fans are there. And then we have, you know, Spanish League going on. We have everything going on. I know United States qualified for World Cup.
Did it.
Great. So, yeah. So, I think the summer time would be great when all the off-season, you know, because the season ended, like, in May.
Yeah.
So we should do something in June and July.
Yeah.
People will be like, have more time to talk about that. Around that time, people will actually start talking about soccer World Cup. Because now people are still busy in their respective leagues.
Yes.
You know, talking about, you know, English Premier League, Spanish leagues, and other stuff.
Football.
With that, we also, there's also a comedy show coming up in the summers. I know.
Yes, we're going to have one in July.
Oh,
it's going to be a big one.
Man, soccer World
July 4th weekend.
So, soccer predictions, comedy shows. Man, there's a lot of things happening.
Football and football will be going on at that time.
On that note, I guess we will close out the episode. Thank you very much for joining us. Have a wonderful rest of your day.
Follow Data Science with Sam.
Follow, there will be the descriptions down below.